It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Theron has the day off. We've got two great guest hosts, Peter Bright and Daniel Rubino. We're going to talk a lot about Windows Phone 8.1, the new Nokia Icon, Android on Windows and a phone, and a whole lot more. Windows Weekly is up next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Theriot and Mary Jo Foley, episode 350, recorded February 19th, 2014. One drive to rule them all. Windows Weekly is brought to you by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with ShareFile from Citrix. Try ShareFile today for a 30-day free trial. Visit ShareFile.com. Click the microphone at the top of the screen and enter Windows. And by IT Pro TV. Are you looking to upgrade your IT skills or prepare for certification? IT Pro TV offers engaging and informative tutorials streamed to your Roku, computer, or mobile device for 50% off the lifetime of your account. Go to itpro.tv/ww and use the code WW50. And by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have all your financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you own. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show that covers Microsoft and all your Microsoft stories. And boy, there's always a lot to talk about. That's why Paul Theriot has left us. He'd be back next. He's on vacation. Mary Jo Foley is here. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hi, Leo.
From allaboutmicrosoft.com. And as usual, when Paul is gone, it takes two to fill his ample shoes. Would you introduce our guests?
I would be
guests?
Happy to. Yes. Yep. We have a return guest who was a favorite among the viewers, Dr. Pizza, a.k.a. Peter Bright from Ars Technica.
He's in the pizzeria right now.
He is.
And who's this new guy?
I know. We have
he looks kind of like a young Paul Theriot.
Yes. We have Daniel Rubino, who is the editor-in-chief of WP Central, a very knowledgeable figure in the Windows Phone community.
Great to have you, Daniel. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be on here. It's an honor.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, this is this is just, you know, what we... I love doing this show because it's just we kind of get together and we just talk about what's going on with Windows 8 and all of that, Satya Nadella and all of that stuff. And I'm glad you're here today because, of course, we're talking Icon. The Nokia...
Sure.
Well, now, is Icon Nokia X? No, that's the Android. I'm confused. No. Which is which?
X is the Nokia phone with the Android in it, and the Icon is the Lumia. And so we're going to talk Nokia first, then Icon later.
Okay. Yeah. The Nokia X. Ev leaks once again with a tweet showing a picture of an Android-based phone. I think we have successfully debunked. Ironically, it was a Google employee who debunked Peter's article. You wrote a great article, I thought, Peter Bright, in Ars Technica.
I don't think.
Defend yourself, Bright.
If you look at like Google's current marketing, they've got a really nice page, I think, on Android.com that's talking about KitKat, and it says, you know, this is Android 4.4, and it's got all these shiny new features, and every new feature that they list is part of the Google Play mobile services closed source, non-open portion, the one that taps into Google services and so on and so forth. And this is how Google is promoting Android. This is what Android is, both in like Google's eyes and I think in most consumers' eyes. You know, if you got a Samsung Galaxy 5 when that's shown next week and it didn't have any of the Google bits and pieces, you'd be really bummed out. You know, you'd say, where's my Play Store? How do I get apps?
And you describe this really well in your article on Ars, in which you posit neither Microsoft, Nokia, or anyone else should fork Android because it's unforkable. And You talk about the two parts to Android. One is the AOSP, the Open Handset Alliance, open source version of Android. And then you speak about the Google Services part of Android, which is Google Play. But it includes more than just the apps. It's not just Gmail, Google Play.
Right.
It's also location services, which apps depend on.
They put a few APIs and things into there. Now, some of the APIs are fairly Google-specific. So, like, in-app purchasing, if you're writing an app and you're setting up in-app purchasing, then obviously you've got to set up bank accounts and, you know, have it authorized with Google somehow. So that's
fine.
Specific.
Nobody would expect
that. So we can sort of understand that. But stuff like So AOSP has got a location API, but the Google Play stuff has got a better location API, and there's no real reason for it to be not in AOSP. It's just they've chosen not to do that. So if you have an app that uses the better location API, then you're going to be dependent on having these non-open Google apps. And what I can imagine happening is that they'll push a few more APIs into the closed proprietary bits to make it a bit more encouraging to develop, sort of enticing to developers to write their apps so that they won't just work on AOSP, so that they have to have the Google stack available. We already see it occasionally with apps that, for no obvious reason, need the Google stack.
I will say, though, isn't the numbers in China showing that forked Android devices have been increasing rapidly? So I think I think
China is really a special case. The Google name doesn't have the influence and importance it does in China, because Chinese society has lots of restrictions and limitations, which, you know, so Google isn't a big search engine there. So tapping into those services, I think, is a lot less important in that market. And there are a couple of others that are similar. So in Russia, Google is not a big player because everyone uses Yandex for their searching. I presume that's how it's pronounced. I don't know. I don't speak Russian.
So
Japan actually is strangely.
There was a response to. There was actually a very lengthy response to your post by Diane Hackborn, who is she's a Googler. She's on the AOSP team.
She's a long time Android developer,
and she I think rebuts it quite detailed fashion.
Well,
what is your rebuttal?
Well,
her position is AOSP is a complete open source phone system. It's complete.
It is, in the sense, if we were looking at smartphones in 2007, then yes, it would be a complete operating system. But now users expect the level of service integration that they see now.
Well, then, saying, and then
in some markets it may not come from Google. So in the Chinese markets it may come from what are they called?
Sinoweibo.
Right.
Yeah. So it may come from someone else. But
if anybody were in a position to provide those kinds of services in the Western world, it would be Nokia. They have so many of these services. So doesn't that seem like if anybody's going to fork Android, it should be Nokia. And if anybody has a credible shot at it, now the one thing missing is a Play Store duplicate. They don't have a lot of Android apps, but I presume they're working on that, right?
Yeah, I mean, so I think Nokia is definitely positioned here. They have the hear mapping services, and they have obviously strong connections with Microsoft, which is sort of the whole irony of the situation.
I think they are Microsoft, the phone part anyway.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, we're still waiting for China.
Yeah.
But they still have the ability to make deals. I mean, so presumably this device will have the Hear mapping system, Hear APIs, and Bing services on board, Skype. And so between Microsoft and Nokia's services, I think they can fill in quite a bit here.
Also, they can. I don't think either can on their own, because Hear is staying with Nokia, and that's a big chunk
of
it.
Did not Microsoft license that, though?
I think they got a license, but they don't own it.
Okay.
Right. They have Hear Maps is in all of Microsoft's products now. Power is what used to be known as Bing Maps. So I think they're you know, this can definitely pull off. I mean, we have to remember this device, this Nokia X, is sort of an emerging market device. It is, you know, pretty low end. I don't think it's meant to be like a Samsung Galaxy. Having said that, you know, you look at Samsung, I believe they have something like around 1,100 APIs that they wrote themselves for Android, which goes to show you, yeah, I think Peter's right. Google is pulling a lot out of the open source and putting it into their sort of closed repository.
And but didn't, I mean, hasn't Amazon already done this? I mean, they took a long time. Right. They had an Amazon Android app store for a year before they released Kindle Fire, but this seems like a successful port.
Yeah, so I mean, you can write APIs.
I think the most interesting thing that to look for is what they're going to do with the store, right? I mean, they're going to supposedly have the Nokia store on these devices. But then there are other reports saying they're going to have something called the Asha on Linux store, which makes me think they may have multiple stores on these devices or access to multiple stores somehow. And then it'll be interesting to see, you know, what kind of apps are in the Nokia store. Will there actually be any Android apps in there? Or will all the Android apps be in a separate marketplace that's called Asha on Linux or called something like that? Right? Like, that to me is the key. Like, I think we can say pretty definitively now, like, this device is going to be announced. Like, it, whatever, if you want to call it a fork or not a fork, it's coming.
Unless regulator approval comes in by the end of the week.
That would be pretty interesting. That happened on the weekend, and they just canceled Monday's press conference.
Well, would they? You think Microsoft doesn't want Nokia to do this?
No, I think they totally want this. I don't.
I don't think it serves their goals in any way.
Huh.
I think it's. And that's the bit that's so mysterious about it, because like the specs that have leaked about this alleged device are not low end specs. I mean, they're still no. Compared to an Asha phone, they are way up.
Yeah.
They are specs that would run Windows Phone.
Is specs what counts, or price, or unsubsidized price?
Well, it's driven by the price tier. Cost.
Right. So is it? So where? What is the price point, you think?
Hardware cost plus a margin.
$100.
$100. That's still
too
much.
Which is high, right?
That's still too much. It needs to be $35 bucks, right?
Right.
Yeah.
The cost is driven by the bill of materials.
Right.
It's
right.
You know,
there is a little bit less memory.
Isn't it 512 megs and 4 gigs?
Right, yeah. And so
which
like a 520
same
has
as
8
the 8S,
gigs.
Which was I think 512 and 4 gigs.
Yeah.
So you know, Windows Phone would run on it, and that's why it's mysterious. If it was like Asha level specs, then I think it would make a lot more sense to you, because then you could say, yes, they're clearly saving a lot of money on the hardware. I assume they're going to make some savings on the screen or something like that.
One alternate theory of this whole Nokia X thing that I've heard, and there's no evidence for it, but was that when Nokia was looking to sell their hardware and devices division, they wanted to obviously offload Lumia. Microsoft was interested in that, but not interested in the Asha line because the Asha line is sort of dying. I mean, it's still profitable, but it's definitely declining. Yeah. In order to sweeten the deal, Nokia basically made this device so that Microsoft would have to buy the Asha division, because Nokia on their own would not be able to sell just Asha to anyone forward in 2015.
So you think they made this device so that Microsoft would have to buy the division so they could kill the device off?
I've heard crazier things, but as an issue of leverage and negotiations, I think it's because they did buy Asha, and now the question is, what's Microsoft even going to do with that whole line? And so I think that's an interesting theory. I'm not sure if there's anything to back it up, but it's definitely interesting.
Peter, go ahead, Mary Jo. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you know why I think they aren't going to kill this is, you guys have probably seen this too. There are rumors that Microsoft's Windows division and the Windows Phone division are both looking at ways to get Android apps on those platforms. And that's a pretty well-sourced rumor too. So if you get this phone, this low-end phone with Android apps, this could be kind of like the gateway into that whole strategy of putting Android apps on the other platforms. I know it sounds crazy, but it's... Both Tom Warren and I have heard it from our sources.
That is not a strategy. That is...
That's capitulation. That's giving up.
I don't know if it's... Yeah. You know what it is, though? It's co-opting. Because if you look what Samsung did to Android, I mean, Samsung and Google
It's barely Android,
I would say up to recently, they didn't get along in the sense that Samsung was very dominant. And when you spoke to Samsung off the record, they were like, that's our OS. And so they basically were taking it over, which is why I think you've seen this deal between them recently. I think maybe Microsoft may be able to see a way in doing that as well. Just replace all the Google services with Microsoft Nokia services and sort of flood the market with those kind of devices and undercut Android. I don't know if that's a strategy that could work, but it's definitely one that's plausible.
I don't know. I have problems with this rumor for so many reasons. Apart from anything else, is Microsoft even allowed to do that? Because way back in the, I guess, 2000s, seems so long ago now, Microsoft had a very long and protracted legal dispute with Sun over shipping Java that wasn't quite Java. And one of the we don't know the terms of this settlement because ultimately it was, you know, a privately negotiated settlement rather than a court verdict in the end, I think. But one of the outcomes of that was that Microsoft no longer distributed its not actually Java implementation, and I think they could probably ship.
Well, remember that Sun and Google don't like. Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, so you're saying,
and you know, and Oracle has no real love for Google.
Remember, went after Google for Dalvik, which was their just-in-time implementation of Java on Android.
Well, exactly.
Google's response was to do an alternative runtime or ART that is available on many Google phones at this point, which they believe is unencumbered. But I think that's probably GMS, not AOSP, right?
Well, I think that's AOSP as well.
It is. ART is AOSP.
I may be wrong, but I think
that would be important to this conversation.
But, you know, maybe the settlement has expired or, you know, the terms didn't sort of cover this kind of thing. But it would surprise me to see Microsoft shipping a Java stack that wasn't proper Java.
So they're not allowed to do an ART or a Dalvik, you're saying?
Well, that's I don't know that they're not allowed to do, but it would surprise me if they were allowed to do it because there was a whole legal fight about not quite the same thing, but very similar.
And I think the Hal Berenson, you know, who used to work at Microsoft, who writes a blog, Hal 2020, he talked about the fact that maybe their way around it is Microsoft has a third party do this work and they don't do it themselves.
That would be kind of like the
loophole, right?
Maybe that's what Nokia is, at least for now.
Or you know, there's other companies that like BlueStacks and others who do this kind of thing, and maybe they do a deal with somebody like that.
If they worked with BlueStacks to make it integrate a bit better, and be a little less heavy on the system resources and that kind of thing, then you could sort of see that.
My experience with BlueStacks is its compatibility is very limited, and probably that's because of the lack of Google Mobile services.
You can install Google Play onto BlueStacks.
Then you can run anything?
It's not everything, but you get more stuff.
More.
Problem is, Android apps don't look like Windows or Windows phone apps.
That's
they don't
another
work
issue.
Like them. There are lots of like integration points where they don't quite fit at the moment. Right. So obviously they have no live tile concept. They handle things like sharing a little bit differently, and you know, maybe some of these gaps can be filled. You know, and maybe that's part of what the work would be for Microsoft in this sort of space. You know, have some way of bridging from the Android way of thinking about things to the Windows / Windows Phone way of doing things.
So, but why do this, I guess? Have we answered that question? Why?
Yeah, why?
If your bill of materials is over $100, it's not for a cheap phone, and you do have Asha for that purpose. Why would they want to do this? Is it capitulation? Is it saying nobody's going to buy a Windows phone, so we have to do an ant? No, that's crazy talk.
No. I mean, there's also, you know, other talk that this was a plan B in case something happened with Nokia, that there's always rumors that they had Android working in the back room as sort of in case anything happened. Just like the same rumors that Microsoft was working on their own Windows phone, the, you know, quote unquote Surface phone. you know, because Nokia was becoming so dominant, had anyone snatched up Nokia or the board decided to go Android to do something else, Microsoft would be left without something. So I think everybody had a sort of a plan B, and that's maybe what this still is. I don't know if Nokia anticipated this actually getting this far into its release cycle, because obviously they can't go, oh, we're being bought by Microsoft, we'll kill it, because you can't do that until the deal is actually finalized. So
you don't have to have a big announcement at Mobile World Congress either.
That's true, too. Right.
That's kind of saying, I mean, that's a big announcement.
Yeah, that's another reason I don't think that Microsoft's hating this. I mean, or that there's a chance that it's going to go on because
aren't they? Well, wait a minute though. During an acquisition,
you can't collude.
You can't. You can't go to them and say, "Hey, go ahead and do that. That's a good idea."
You can't.
We like it.
But they're talking to each other, obviously, because they're working together on Windows Phone. So you know, I'm sure they're not allowed to say to them, "You guys need to kill this," but. They also could kind of drop into a conversation, I would think, like, hey, what are you guys doing? You know? Because they're working with them.
Go to Mobile World Congress. Yeah.
Boy, given Microsoft's, previous experiences with the Department of Justice, right. I would guess they're going to be very, very careful.
I'm joking about this. But
they don't have a monitor anymore in there, do they?
No.
No compliance monitor? That's over?
No. Yeah.
So, yeah. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting to watch how much.
See if Satya Nadella is at the announcement. That's what you want to do.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
He gets on stage.
I want to see how many times they say the word Android during the announcement.
Yeah, that's going to be real interesting to see how much they acknowledge it. I mean, I think the bigger story here is going to be how the media covers this, because I think this is going to be a real sensational story when they're really – there's a couple ways this can go, right? I mean, Nokia X could just hit the market, comes out, it's there. It's not a bad even – it's a good experience. I mean, it is from Nokia, so I'd expect that. But who knows? If Microsoft could then be like, all right, it's dead, and what's the point of this? You know, it was a one-generation device. Or, you know, like Mary J. Foley said, like, this could continue on down the path. So what happens going further could be interesting. But I think it's going to be more sensational headlines than anything of substance, to be honest.
Well, Dr. Pizza, do you want to retract your Ars article? Is it unforkable?
I think it is still unforkable, particularly as Microsoft really has its eye on the U.S. and EU.
It would be a subpar experience compared to the other phone choices.
It would be troublesome.
Yeah. You're watching Windows Weekly. Paul is on vacation up on the slopes in New Hampshire, and he's skiing his little hearts out. But we've got some great replacements. Dr. Pizza is here. Peter Bright from Ars Technica, from Windows Phone Central, Editor-in-Chief Daniel Rubino. And we will continue in a moment talking about all things Microsoft, but first a word from something Microsoft probably doesn't want to hear from. ShareFile from Citrix. So, yeah, you could use that other product, but you know what? ShareFile is designed from the ground up to be for business. I think a lot of us have the experience of sending email attachments. Pretty much every business email today has an attachment, whether it's a contract, a spreadsheet, a presentation, a resume. You've heard me say many times, don't send attachments. There are lots of reasons not to send attachments. Of course, security is one. Everything sent through email is, you know, it's like a postcard. It can be read all every step of the way. That's why plain old email is just not HIPAA compliant, not compliant with a lot of regulations, privacy regulations. But also, it's rude, especially you don't know what the recipient's limits are in their inbox. A lot of times you'll get bounce backs because the attachment is just too big to support. ShareFile solves these problems, giving you complete control without sending attachments. What you're sending is a secure link. Although if you're using Outlook, the Outlook plugin makes it look just like you're sending an attachment. It's very easy to use. It has a number of real benefits for business. You control who has access to the files. You also control level of permissions. You can send files of almost any size without bounce backs. You can say that person can download it once, forever, twice, whatever. You could say they can access it for a day, a week, a month, a year, forever. And it syncs automatically. I use background sync with ShareFile on Mac and PC. That means that my ShareFile folders are automatically synced to the ShareFile cloud, which means you can access that material anywhere, laptop, tablet, smartphone. They've got great ShareFile apps. I'm going to log into my ShareFile account also and show you how cool it is in terms of branding. It's, you know, with a lot of these services, the other person has to have a link, has to have a account, and they have to log in and so forth. Not the case with ShareFile. Oh, they just added a new feature. That's awesome. So when you go to a ShareFile, you see our Twit branding. When I share a file with somebody, that's what they see. They don't have to sign up or log in. They just click a link and download it. If I've asked that they provide their email address, it will ask them for that. These are all the share file files. You see, I use it for sharing files with radio stations. So, for instance, here's my file shared with KFI. Here's the people at the radio station who can access it. Here are what their various permissions are, what my notification will be. If I want to share a file or a folder, I just click the file or folder, press send. I can create an email in the share file interface, or I can create a link, and then I have all the settings here. I can say when the download access expires. I can say how many downloads per user. I can require email and name. Let's just send that file right now. When I get a link, and I'll show you what they see. This is the unique link for that file. And if I get a new page here and paste that link in, this is what they'll get when they click the link. Very simple. They get a branded page. It's got my logo on it and a download button. If it's a folder, it'll download it as a zip, which they can unzip later. It could not be easier. It eliminates all of the issues of privacy, eliminates because it's SSL. It's completely secure, this transaction. It eliminates bounce backs. And because it syncs automatically, you and your team will always have the most updated materials. And if I'm on the road and I forget to send something to a client, boom, I just do it from my phone. I want you to try ShareFile. We've got a special offer. When you sign up today, you'll get a 30-day free trial, no obligation. All you have to do is go to ShareFile.com. Now, I want to show you this because it's a little bit different if you're watching on video. Otherwise, I'll describe it. You'll see a number of places where you can start your free trial. It's not the middle button, the big green button. It's not the one in the menu bar that says try it free. It's the one up at the top, the smallest button you could possibly find that says podcast listeners. Click here. That's the one we want you to click. I'm sorry. They make it hard. Think of it as a game. When you do click it, you'll be asked to let's do that again. Let me do that again because I zoomed out and we lost it. When you do click it, you'll be asked for – now what did I do? Try again. You'll be asked for an industry. Do customize it for your industry. It's because it's HIPAA compliant, you can customize it for medical. You can customize. Oh, here you go. Okay. You can customize it for almost any business. And we do ask you, if you could, to use our offer code, Windows, to let everybody know you heard about ShareFile on Windows Weekly. ShareFile.com. Your free trial includes 20 gigabytes of storage and bandwidth, 20 employee accounts, custom branding, 24/7 telephone and email support, encrypted transfer and storage, the Outlook plugin, desktop sync, enterprise sync. This is a great deal. ShareFile.com. Please click that microphone way up at the top there and use the offer code Windows for Windows Weekly. And we thank Citrix for their ongoing support. They've been great with Windows Weekly. Mary Jo Foley is here. Paul Thurrott has the day off. But she's brought in the troops, Peter Bright from Ars Technica, Daniel Rubino, editor-in-chief of Windows Phone Central. And we are talking Microsoft Windows, Microsoft Windows Phone, Android phones for Nokia, you know the works.
Just another day.
Just another day.
Right.
What do we we talked a little bit about this, but it seems credible that this would be, if this is something Microsoft likes, part of this rumored putting Android on Windows Phone itself. Android apps, I should say, on Windows Phone itself. Does that seem credible? Does that seem doable?
I don't really know how they're going to do it. Like I keep saying, maybe it's a third party, maybe there's some other way. But I can tell you the rumor is credible based on who told
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So it's BlackBerry definitely not just some idle talk.
BlackBerry did it with mixed success, I think.
Right. Yeah.
I know. It's going to be really interesting to see how this goes and how they position it and how they explain it, right?
Yeah.
Because that to me is key. They can't go out there and say, hey, guys, you know what? It didn't work out and we're putting Android apps on the phone. They can't go at it like that. But I don't know, position yourself as the Uber platform that runs everything, maybe? I don't know how I would do it.
One platform to rule them all.
In one way, giving users an option isn't a bad thing, but it is the message, right, that you're sending to developers on Windows Phone and the market in general.
That's what you really don't want to do, right?
Right.
Because they're already kind of seemingly reluctant to develop for Windows Phone. If they suddenly can say, well, I can just take my Android app and port it over, that kind of a limit. You're never going to get...
Mary Jo, surely you remember the 1990s.
I do.
She's not old enough, but I do, Peter.
I'm not old
I was
enough,
there.
But I do.
Yeah. Better Windows than Windows.
Ah, OS 10.
OS 2.
I mean, Mac, what am I saying? OS 2. It was 8 before OS 10.
Was that a resounding success, that whole strategy of, hey, we'll run your DOS apps and your Win16 apps better than the competition? I'm pretty sure that crashed and burned.
It was in certain markets. You know what? Banks used OS 2 for a long time. Yep. After that.
Yeah. And I think it was big in Germany or something crazy. But
I know.
But, you know, that's a very different story because that was a cooperation between IBM and Microsoft.
It was.
Dave Cutler traded over and Ed Iacobucci traded over. And this was a very much a unified effort. I don't think you can say
that it started that way.
It
didn't finish that way.
No.
But your
resulting product was truly, it might have been a better Windows than Windows. I mean, it was truly successful. This would not be that. This would be a beast with two backs. This is not going to be a good thing.
Right.
Peter got that one. He's a Shakespearean scholar, my friends.
I don't see it.
All right.
I don't see how they can sell it and not just shoot themselves in the foot.
So Microsoft's also going to be at Mobile World Congress, yes?
They are.
Kind of.
Not in a big way,
yeah,
right?
Kind of. Are they going to take a backseat to Nokia?
Well, they don't have any announcements. They just have, on Sunday, they have like a press analyst meeting that they're going to kind of talk about strategy.
Really? On Sunday? I don't think I got an invitation to that.
Are you going to Barcelona?
I am, I'm meeting a bunch of people on Monday.
This is when Dr. Pizza goes ballistic. Thing. It's just a drink.
Drink, meet and greet.
Oh, it probably clashes with something else. Maybe I get. Could you sign up for one of these conferences? It just ruins your inbox for months.
Infinite emails. Yeah. Yep.
Normally I'm really good about like reading my emails and just. Yeah. In the last few weeks, I've just gone, oh!
Monday, we are going to do the Galaxy S5 announcement live here. I think Motorola has some announcements. And Nokia's announcement is when? Because I got to make a note, because we definitely have to do that.
Monday morning.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Monday morning. Real early.
Barcelona time?
It'll be,
I think it's 8:30.
What time Pacific? 2 in the morning?
Like 11. No, it's... I think 11:30. I think.
Oh, all right. Because the Galaxy S5. No. Because the Galaxy S5 announcement is at 11.
Because they're 9 hours ahead in Barcelona Pacific.
Oh Lord.
It's gonna be a busy
it's gonna be a long day.
If it's 8:30 Barcelona time, it will be 11:30 Pacific in the evening.
Nokia also has a developer midnight. Day on right. Tuesday. So
that's right.
Okay. Yeah,
they'll be talking about some. I think there'll be probably some app announcements and some strategy things. I think there'll be little tidbits of Windows Phone info coming out too, but nothing. They're saving the big guns for Build, obviously.
It's interesting because a lot of people were like, "Oh no, there's no Windows Phone announcements at Mobile World Congress." Well, Microsoft's kind of taking that strategy, right? Like they are with CES, and they're not using these big. Shows where their news gets lost anymore to make really big announcements like that.
They don't need to.
Right.
They can do their own thing. Now, let me ask, will there be anybody announcing a Windows Phone outside of Nokia?
There's been some talks of some third, Huawei. Possibly they have, I believe, a W3 that may be announced. We haven't heard too much about it. So some low-level, entry-level devices like that. I don't believe anything from Samsung or HTC, though. So I think it'll be just maybe Huawei, and that's pretty much it.
Because they have to wait for Windows Phone 8.1 to have the next generation of devices, right?
So right.
All those things that, like Goldfinger, MoneyPenny, all these next-generation phones, the Samsung Huron on Verizon, I think those are all post build, right? If they come to pass.
Samsung's going to keep making Windows phones.
supposedly.
What a shocker. I did not expect that. How about HTC?
They're kind of, they haven't ruled it out, but it's not a high on their priority list. I would still expect them to probably put out a device at some point for 8.1, probably later in the year. But I, you know, they haven't released technically a new device in like a long, long time. I think about 14 months.
Very I'm sad. I love my 8X. Got,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love my 8X. I wish they'd do another phone.
Yeah.
Especially
Enterprise. Do we still think that Samsung is going to go for this even after their signing their deal with Google?
I don't think so, but I know nothing.
They still, I mean, Mary Jo, I may be able to speak to this. It doesn't, like, I believe Samsung sort of get discounts since they already do PCs. They get discounts on licenses for Windows phones and vice versa. So every time I've talked to Samsung off the record, they've always been sort of like, you know, we're keeping our foot in the door with Windows Phone. Well, I don't think they want to shut the door. You know, I think in case something does happen to Windows Phone, they want to be there.
They're such a big company that it's not a big drain on them to have some guys in the corner over there doing a Windows Phone.
It's actually surprising. I think despite how little they push Windows Phone, I think they sell more than HTC does still, even though Samsung does really.
Is that a high standard? Yeah. I don't know.
considering with Nokia, I'm actually surprised every time I see Samsung numbers for Windows Phone, how high it is.
It's probably not in the U.S., right? It's probably in other markets, or no?
They got the AT&T. Have the new AT&T for AT&T, which is actually pretty nice.
Yeah. Interesting.
I haven't seen that. But that's the thing. I mean, at least HTC is kind of one of the companies you think of as making Windows phones, because, like, I think the 8X made quite a splash. Samsung, the Ative things really haven't. So if they're selling better than HTC, that's really surprising to me.
Yeah. It's just a measure of Samsung's power in the marketplace.
Sure.
HTC is in such trouble that it doesn't make sense for them to have too many development teams.
Do you not think that Robert Downey Jr. is going to save HTC?
I think you're going to see the new one. I guess that's what they're going to call it, the new one. And they're going to put all of their might behind that, because their might is not so great anymore. But Samsung is so huge, they could, you know, they've got Tizen, which is basically a Linux phone. There's no reason, you know, they're big in Android. There's no reason why they wouldn't do a Windows phone.
Tizen is basically dead.
Is it?
Oh, blatantly.
Because of the Google deal.
Delayed. And, you know, the Google deal, I think, puts another nail in its coffin. But
you got to think that selling Motorola to Lenovo was part of the deal. They said, look, we're going to get out of the phone business, but we need you, Samsung, to really toe the line here and really do
care. Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I totally believe that. And because that was just way too odd. I'm not saying that Motorola made sense even for Google besides the patents, but that quick sell-off was very unexpected.
Well, and add to it pressure from the Korean government, which made a law that said you have to be able to remove this crapware. I think Samsung was getting it from both sides. So,
yeah. What about Sony? Do you guys think Sony will do Windows phones?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. I mean, we've been hearing about that for a long time.
I know.
They're sort of on the sidelines, like, we're not ruling it out. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I haven't heard of anything actually, you know, in the wings, but...
Right. No code names have leaked or anything.
No.
do they do one now? F-leaks. Pardon my ignorance.
No.
All right.
No.
They
were announced for Windows Phone 7. The original announcement, they were one of the... a few companies that were on board with Windows. It was Windows Phone 7 devices back then. and Sony was on board. And there was later came out this Julie prototype. But then they pulled out the last minute. And so they never made it to the actual release of Windows Phone 7. And so they pulled out, and that was that. And it was actually an interesting device. It had a slide-out keyboard. And a lot of people, every time we posted images of it, people were always excited. But, you know, Sony would be a welcome player to sort of fill in Nokia's hole that they're going to leave when they're no longer an independent,
What about wild card suggestion? Mm-hmm. Motorola Windows Phone.
No. Actually, Lenovo might well.
Because why would, you know, let's say if it got like a steady 10 or 15% of the market, why would Lenovo not?
Sure.
You know,
yeah, because they're a big partner.
Why wouldn't they? Because they're, again, sure. It's like Samsung. They're big enough to have a finger in every pie. The marginal cost of, you know, you design the hardware. Yeah, you design it for your Android flagship, but you can stick Windows Phone on there.
Sure.
Easily enough. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you say that like Samsung gets good pricing on the software because they sell a lot of PCs, well, who sells more PCs than Samsung? Yeah. Lenovo. So
right. Yeah, no, I think all these companies are on the sidelines waiting to jump in, but they won't until... I mean, the big problem is U.S. market share. 3% for Windows Phone is still too low. The rest of the world, it's doing pretty well.
That's
you look
the
at
thing.
Spain, yeah. You look at Italy.
Yeah. That's the but thing. I mean, Lenovo's a Chinese company. Do they care that much about U.S. market share? Maybe.
No, and so far their Android devices haven't made much of a splash right. either, but they have potential. So.
And they did interesting things. So they were one of the first to ship a Intel
right.
powered Lenovo right. Android handset.
Scale.
So. Yeah.
Very interesting subject. But it's good. You know, it's may you all live in interesting times. It's a good thing. You want to see some ferment. I think it's bad for Microsoft if Nokia is the only company making RT tablets and Windows phones.
Yeah,
they need some partners for sure. Is anybody making RT besides Nokia and Microsoft?
Not now.
Nope.
So that's to me. I'm just likening the Windows Phone marketplace to the RT marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, if nobody's making RT because they don't want to compete with Microsoft and this dual-headed Microsoft Nokia thing, why would they want to do Windows Phone?
I sort of agree with you for the most part. The one thing I would say is probably the phone market is a little can sort of support a little more diversity,
right?
You know, because people want lots of different screen sizes, and some people will want sort of slightly weird things like dual SIM and things like that.
There is no market more diverse and heterogeneous than the PC marketplace. There are more Windows 8
PC,
form
yes, but
factors.
Tablet, no. The tablet market, you know.
I'm looking. That's my
so
sign for the yoga. You can tell I'm
because,
doing
because, you know, your tablet, you have the screen size, and that's the only variable that really matters.
So. Yeah.
I think there's more place for, like, niche mobile phones than there is for... Sort of
boy, it doesn't look like that. It really looks like it's shaken out to Samsung and Apple, and that's it.
No. No, there's an awful lot.
I know you don't like that.
Weird, there's an awful lot of weird Android phones out there.
Yeah.
Particularly AOSP Android phones. You know,
right.
So far, Samsung has sort of avoided the real low-end market for Android.
That's where all the other... That's where the diversity is happening, is at the low end.
Right,
yeah.
Not at the high end.
It's even Apple, too. So.
Yeah, no, because neither Samsung nor Apple is pushing into the $35 phone market. Big opportunity for Microsoft.
Will we ever see like a dual SIM iPhone? Of course not. Because it appeals to the wrong market.
No. We apparently are expecting to see a dual SIM Windows phone, though. That's
right.
That's from Nokia.
Because it's big in emerging markets. Right. It's you know, one of the things they care about.
This is a story on Windows Phone Central.
India is probably one of the fastest growing markets right now for Windows Phone. The market there is absolutely huge. So having a dual SIM device would be pretty massive there.
Explain to me, because nobody here in the U.S. needs dual SIM. What is the purpose of a dual SIM phone? Daniel, what's the idea?
I mean, people on so in India, it's obviously not like the U.S. market where you have to sign a 2-year agreement, and people basically use different SIMs for different parts of the country when they're traveling around. They can pop them in and out. Some have better data plans. You can use voice on one, data on the other, and so they offer a lot more flexibility. And if you look at like the Asha phones, they do have dual SIM already. It's sort of a big thing that's missing from Windows Phone, considering the market there. The 520, the 620, those devices are the top sellers right now in India. And so bringing dual SIM to what's going to be called MoneyPenny, that's the code name from Nokia, is going to be sort of a big deal. And, you know, it's an interesting story, I think, for Windows Phone, that emerging markets in countries like India is probably one of the biggest areas of growth for them. But it's not as sensational as, like, the U.S. market.
Interesting. There's no market in the U.S. for dual SIM. I mean, we have travelers, but...
No, I don't think so.
No, that's a kind of a specialty market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least not a U.S. market.
I mean, yeah, I think it's quite a big market, but it's not a Western market.
Well, yeah. Sorry.
You know, I've heard, apparently, again... same as India, it's big in Africa. People, in a particular sort of people who will travel between countries a lot, you know, they'll have a home SIM and a roaming.
But do people travel that much, or is it that maybe the borders are close and they just
It's for, you know, where
migrant workers
that kind of thing. The border may be porous, you may live near it.
I think that's sort of the interesting thing here with Windows Phone is this emerging market, India, Africa, you know, you have Latin American countries, Mexico, it's very popular, and I think they have 11% market share. I think Microsoft was sort of caught off guard by that success. They've always been sort of aiming for that higher end market, or mid to high, I should say. And the fact that countries like India, Mexico have really caught on has forced them to sort of add these features like dual SIM, where in hindsight, it would have been better to have it earlier on, you know, 6 months ago, but now they have to add it to 8.1.
Which to me, that's always raised an interesting question. What happens if a few years down the line, Microsoft has a really sort of, okay, not dominant market share in these countries, but a decent, you know, like 15, 20% market share in these countries, which I think is not impossible to imagine. What happens if they have that, but they're still only sort of 3 or 4% in the US? Do they stick with Windows Phone then? You know, where it's a sort of an unsexy success?
Right.
Or do they just pack it in and say, we give up?
I don't think they'll do that, only because if you look at, you know, the strategy they did with Xbox, they were very content with losing money for a long time with this long-term strategy. So I think they, I mean, the fact is it's a good operating system. When you look at the criticisms for Windows Phone, it's not because it's buggy, it crashes, it's slow. It's because of what used to be lack of apps. That's sort of disappearing now, and sort of it's not as flexible as Android or iOS for user features. That'll be addressed with 8.1. So the base is good. The message is, you know, they have a good product to sell. So if it was reversed, I would say they would have a tough strategy. You know, like you look at Windows Mobile years ago. We all used it, but admittedly, it wasn't very good for consumers. So I think they do have this, you know, it's just finding the right market. I don't know what it's going to take in the U.S., though, to actually catch on. But it's definitely a tough problem for them.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting to remember what Microsoft's heritage is, right? They came at the market on all kinds of things as the low-cost volume company, right? Like, that's how they got into the enterprise. That's how they kind of unseated a bunch of their competitors. And so I think they aren't adverse to coming in at the low end and making that the volume play and then kind of parlaying that into something bigger. So I agree with Daniel. I think they're going to stick it out and just keep throwing money at it.
Yeah.
Windows, is it that much money? I think probably.
No. And as it merges with Windows RT, you know, and that whole project comes to be, you're going to be overlapping costs, and that redundancy will be removed.
Mm-hmm. It's such a shame because Windows Phone, as somebody's saying in the chat room, Species is saying in the chat room, really is a great OS. Mm-hmm. It just came a little too late. Developers didn't embrace it to the degree that it needed to. And can you say it's an expanding market at this point? Is it growing?
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely growing. It's growing at the rate or slightly higher than general smartphone adoption across the world.
Well, that's good.
So I think it's most reports show it over 100% year over year growth. Some are going high as 140, 109%. But it's growing. It's just the whole pie is growing too. Actually, Apple's market share is declining, even though their numbers are increasing because of that, because of Android. So it's an interesting strategy.
A rising tide raises all boats.
Right.
But your boat's going a little bigger than others.
Yeah. But I would say probably the next 3-4 years, that will probably end. You know, there is a wiggle room now that as people abandon dumb phones and go to smartphones, Microsoft has an opportunity. But if they don't hit it within, I'd say, 4 years, that story would be very different, I would suspect.
Yeah. Is BlackBerry a cautionary tale? Is there something Microsoft can learn from what happened to BlackBerry?
I don't know. You know, BlackBerry 10, I have a few of their devices. it wasn't a bad OS, but the problem with BlackBerry was that's all they sold were phones. And so they didn't have as much clout. Microsoft can take a few bad quarters with Windows Phone with no issue, because that's not what they rely on to sell. So, I would say BlackBerry and Palm are very similar, but Microsoft is very different here.
They're much more resilient, of course.
Well, BlackBerry, I think BlackBerry will survive, actually, but not as a phone company.
As services.
Services, mobile device management, all that kind of thing.
Sure.
But I think that the days as a phone company are numbered.
Let's talk about Windows Phone 8.1. More leaks, more features, more stuff. Who wants to take the lead on this one?
I think you should open that WP Central link on our show notes that says features we're most excited about.
We'll
list. Look at the list of features. How many things there are in this release?
Wait a minute, I'm getting a Chinese page. Is this right?
The bottom. The features we are most excited about.
Nervous when I see a page in Chinese.
That one's okay. that actually is an interesting page too from livesino.net. He dug around in the SDK and found a bunch of icons for Cortana, which we haven't heard that much about. You know, the Siri-like component that's coming to Windows Phone 8.1. Microsoft blocked the access, but this gives you some kind of little clues about the kinds of things that you may be able to say to Cortana. You know, check my flight time, blah blah blah, that kind of thing.
Honestly, if it weren't for what I've seen that's been leaked so far. Which is nothing personal. No one leaks anything to me. if it weren't for the branding difficulties it would cause, this is Windows Phone 9. This is Windows Phone 9, and it's going to be called 8.1 because...
Just to match 8.1.
They're saving the 9 name, and they wanted to match the 8.1 name. But this looks like Windows Phone 9.
I know. It has so much stuff in it, right?
This is equivalent to, I would say, Windows Phone 7.5, which famously had 500 new features. It was a really big overhaul. This is sort of, I would say, along the same line. So Cortana, which is the Siri-like assistant.
This is bigger.
Yeah.
You do?
Because it's got all the underlying API bits and pieces as well, which the alignment looks like it's going to be a lot bigger between phone and regular Windows. So I think this is going to be a huge release.
Yeah, it's going to be, like I said, Cortana and Action Center, also the Notification Center that's a part of it, are the big stories that, it's easy to write about, but it's really on that features page we give with all those small changes. That's going to be a real big user story. There's just so many small tweaks that they've done for user options that has really made this, I think, a really surprising release that's coming out.
Swipe screen we get, right? The swipe typing screen.
Looking at all this really does. It's not a 0.1 update. This is a big update.
It is.
Swipe is a great, it's the swipe keyboard that we use on Android?
No, it's this is a little, it's not swipe capital S. Well, it should be, I think it's, it's going to be the stock keyboard, but instead of actually typing, you can just drag your finger and it'll create the little swipe.
Swipe was the first to do that. Google's new keyboard for Android does that. It's really a nice way to. SwiftKey does it now. Instead of tapping, you draw, kind of.
Yeah. And so this is Microsoft's version. It's not a separate keyboard. They're not opening it up to third-party keyboards. It's simply an option you can do on existing stock. So it's their own flavor, which would be, I think it's real interesting for it to come to tablets too. This is part of the whole keyboard technology that they're developing.
Have you used a swipe on like an Android tablet? It is so weird, I find, because the tablet's too big.
Yeah, I never use it on a tablet. I always use it on a phone.
What about an 8-inch tablet though? Would it make more sense there?
That might be possible.
I think once the keys are big enough that you could thumb type, you don't need swipe. Swipe is for the small targets.
I'm a big fan of the split thumb keyboard.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with you on that.
Swipe on that. Wouldn't work.
Well, this is exciting. So we're still on target for March, or?
What are you hearing, Daniel, for RTM?
Yeah, they're tidying it up right now. I heard all the major production of 8.1 is done. They're just basically going through right now and making sure everything is good and cleaning up some UI. Some of the leaks we've seen today are from builds from a few weeks ago. So they're not. There's going to be still some changes. But yeah, we're hearing RTM will be announced before build. And, you know, once they're going to announce it at build, presumably, and then they're going to give it a developer preview at that same, either at that same time or that week. That's the goal, so that you'll be able to actually update your phone to 8.1. And anybody would be able to do that. You won't get the firmware from like Nokia and HTC that may enable some advanced features, but you'll get the core, like 90% of the operating system, which would be, I think, is a great story for Microsoft to be able to do that.
You don't have to wait for the carrier. You could do it yourself.
Right. Right.
And so when is build?
April 2nd.
So April for the developer. Mm-hmm. And then when do we get the downloads for our phones?
I'm hearing not before June 15th.
June.
At least for the icon.
Wow, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the icon's the one I was going to buy.
Yeah. Well, you can still put 8.1.
You can buy it with what's on there.
Exasperating here.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it sounds like it'll be a little bit better than the situation with 8.0, where basically the phones were on the market as soon. The software went live, the SDK went live, and the phones were already on the market. So basically, no developers got a chance to take advantage of any of the new features.
Right.
Because they just didn't have time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Mary Jo, have
so
you
if,
been...
if this comes out in June, it sounds like it'll be a little bit better because they'll have a couple of months.
Yeah.
But it still seems bizarre to be so secretive about it. And
this is Microsoft. Come on.
Well, you see what happened when they did give the SDK to what was a very small number of developers. I've heard the number was pretty tiny.
Really?
I don't know if they... And so that was a real select group of developers that they chose to give the SDK to. Oops. And it was like literally hours before it got leaked. Okay. And I know Microsoft was pretty upset about that. Because up to that point, 8.1 was largely a mystery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
So and all the stuff that we know now is from that SDK leak.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
So, Mary Jo, did you get hands-on with the... I saw your icon. Oh! Let me see. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Pretty. Yep. What do you think? Wait a minute. All right, hold on. Peter's got it, too. That means Daniel's going to hold up his now. Wait a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got mine right here.
I hate you all.
You've got a black one. Mine is white.
Oh, you got the white one.
Yeah, I got the black one.
Yeah. I wish they had colors. I really like that.
I knew.
That's Verizon.
Yeah, Verizon doesn't like color.
Verizon.
So, I wish this phone was not on Verizon. And I like some
everybody
people
does.
The Verge said it's really ugly, and I don't get why they say it's really ugly.
Looks pretty to me from a distance.
I don't think it's ugly.
I think it's stylistically more similar to the 925 and Verizon's 928.
It's slabby. Yeah, it's slabby, like, right? It's have the square corners and all that.
Yeah.
It feels great to hold, though.
Yeah. It's
heavy.
A much better size than the 15.
So, Mary Jo, you say you wanted to love it, but you do like it. But
I like it, but, man, I am bummed how heavy this is. And everybody's come on, woman up.
Well, that's because you used the 8X. The 8X is a very slim.
I used the 8X, right. Okay. Look at the 8X versus this phone. So they're the same thickness when I have the case on the 8X. But, man, this thing is so – it's like 4 ounces. This is like closing in on 6. It's heavy. I've noticed when I hold it in one hand, because it's a 5-inch phone, I have to rest my hand on the desk to make it comfortable. I do.
Oh, my God.
I do.
I don't know. I see. I'm a big fan. I know a lot of people are big fans of that. I mean, the Lumia heft, you can call it, the Nokia heft. You know, that's just a trademark of Nokia phones. I mean, they joke about it, right? So on Twitter, they'll put out photos of the phone on the sidewalk with cracked pavement, so, you know, saying it's a Nokia.
6 ounces. It's less than a filet mignon. Come on.
I know. But when you're holding it and trying to use it one-handed and you're holding it up for a long time, my hand gets tired. It does. And I don't know. I'm not that weak. I think this is heavier than I wanted it to be. I wanted it to be like the 925.
Sure. 925. Actually, I find the 925 almost too light. I had to put a case on it because it's so slippery. Like, it comes out of my hand pretty
easily. iPhone 5. and it's too light. It doesn't feel substantial enough for how much the damn thing cost.
It should weigh more. I want more ounces for my dollar.
I want it to be a little denser because it just feels more rich.
Mary Jo, is it? Do you think it's a gender thing? Do you think women would want a lighter phone than men?
I don't think all women do. I think some people like a heavier phone. You know what? I also get to try
it
that.
It weighs less than a pint.
I know. It does. With all the pints I've been lifting, I should be able to lift this phone. But no, it's just, you know what I've noticed? The 1520, I always use that with two hands because it was like closer to a six-inch phone. So I never picked it up one-handed.
Like a dinner plate.
Right. Yeah. This one, I'm trying to use one-handed.
I see.
Like if you're reading a Kindle book on it or doing a lot of email, surfing the web for more than like a couple minutes, I just noticed my hand starts drooping. I don't know if it's just me or...
It's a 5-inch screen. Is that the biggest phone you've ever had?
It is.
Yeah. That could some of it could be that.
Have you used the
1520 then? I used the 1520 for a while, and I really like that phone a lot.
That's my daily device.
Is the 1520 better than this, the 929?
Nope. It's the same hardware. It's different. Just one's 6-inch and one's 5-inch. Yeah.
Right. They have the same camera. Right. They both have the... Does the 1520...
And you can get a micro SD on the 1520, but you cannot...
Right.
On the other hand, AT&T cripples the 1520 by removing the wireless charging because AT&T...
Right.
They turn off Qi?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because they support PMA.
Oh, I hate you, AT&T. I hate you with a passion that burns like a white fire in the soul of my belly. I hate you.
The AT&T model is, I think, 16 gig.
There's two now. There's a 16 and there's a 32 you can get online.
So the international model was always 32 gig and with the Qi charging. But AT&T says, no, we don't want any of that because that might be good.
Yeah, although we don't want
8.1 is going to be less of a, because with 8.1 you can install apps and games to the SD card now. So actually, the 1520 with even 16 gigs and a 64 gig card is still pretty awesome.
Yeah, and you guys just said you hated Verizon, so it seems like
their
service
is the best
in New York City. There's nothing better because it was 9X. So I guess If you want Verizon, this is your choice. So
it is.
It's a good phone. I mean, it is. I don't know. If I didn't have the 1520, I would be using this phone all the time. But the thing is, I keep telling people, once you go to a 6-inch phone, as ridiculous as it is,
I love it. Yeah.
You can't go back. Yep. It's really hard. I find even the icon kind of small now. So
now, what's the deal on glance? Because there's no glance on the icon.
Right.
Nokia
said, when I asked them, they said there is some kind of a hardware restriction and they aren't completely ruling it out, but it's not there and neither is double tap to wake on this phone.
Right.
Is it because it's 1080p?
I think it's the 1080p combined with OLED. They've done glance on OLED. They've done glance on 1080p, but they never done glance on 1080p OLED. So I think there's something there that's going on that's causing them a little bit of trouble. I don't know the exact details,
OLED,
but that's my guess.
Glance and OLED seem like they're made for each other.
Tell us what glance is real quickly, Peter, so for those of us who don't know.
Let me see if I've got
Show us a glance.
I've got so many damn phones here. Let's see.
He's got them all in front of him. That's what cracks me up. And then the second row is remote controls.
They're not behaving. Glance, it shows you, even when the screen is sort of notionally off black, it will show you a clock.
Right.
Whether it's in vibrate or noisy mode. And in the most recent update, it'll also show you the notifications.
Right. So this is what the Moto X does also. It's the active.
Yeah, it's similar sort of thing to that.
And the reason, it works well on OLED is because you could turn on portions of an OLED without turning on the whole screen.
Right, exactly.
So for an LCD screen, the whole screen is lit up even if it's black.
Yeah, so this is glance on a 925.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there we go,
Sorry,
you've got the notifications at the bottom.
Yeah.
Clock, and it's...
The idea is you don't have to... It doesn't use up a lot of power. You don't have to pick up the phone and turn it on to see the time and what's going on. It's a nice feature, I think.
It's a really good...
it really is. Yeah.
It's a sort of classic Nokia sort of feature. It's the kind of...
And we should say they did it before Moto X did.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
D, Daniel, how many bars of service are you getting on the icon?
Yeah, I'm out on the island, Long Island, not New York City. And Verizon is not as good for me as AT&T. So where I am, I only have about 2 bars on 3G. If I go outside, it'll pick up LTE, but I get way better service with AT&T. So, you know, but that's mostly dependent on area. I haven't had too much problems with reception in general as far as getting and receiving calls and data, though.
I'm asking because on my 8X, I always get full bars of 4G here in New York. But on the Lumia icon, I'm getting 2.
Interesting. Maybe have you done actual like, speed tests?
Yeah. I have not tried that yet.
Yeah, because sometimes I know that they report differently as far as the bars. Right. You know, they're not necessarily calibrated, so I'd be curious.
I didn't know if it was because the sides of this, the metal sides, are antennas, right?
Right.
On the icon. And if that was, I don't know. Anything different? Well,
that's where holding it wrong comes into play.
Exactly. Maybe that's why it's why I'm like resting it on the table. So maybe that's affecting my number of bars. She's so weak; she can't even hold it up. What about you, Peter? Are you getting a lot of bars of service on the icon or no?
I have 4 bars.
Did,
I have 4 bars on T-Mobile as well. Yeah. I don't know if I've got any AT&T SIMs, so I don't know what I'd get on that.
Yeah. I do like the phone, though. I'm not a hater. I can see maybe buying it, but I'm not. I really wanted to just love this phone and just say, okay, tomorrow when it goes on sale on Verizon, I'm buying one. But I'm still a little bit on the fence. Sure.
I think I'm going for the big 6 inches.
Are you?
Yeah.
It seems now a little strange to release it now, though, because presumably we're going to get a new generation for 8.1.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, 8.1 is kind of, it's shaping up to be kind of interesting. There's an expectation, at least from a lot of people, that Microsoft is going to announce 8.1, and then there's going to be like a whole fleet of new devices coming out. And my, you know, the latest we're getting on that is that's not the case. There'll be actually like 2 phones, MoneyPenny and Goldfinger, each representing opposite ends of the spectrum. One's going to be a low-cost device. One's going to be a high-end feature device. And then you'll have that Samsung one for Verizon. But I think they're going to be mostly concentrating on updates for current hardware as opposed to just new hardware.
Good. I mean, that's a good selling feature that they'll actually do that when Android is troublesome.
Right.
I mean, it's what they always promised. And it's now time to deliver that, I think. So will the new phones take advantage of the on-screen buttons?
Yes,
that's kind of the big hardware feature, isn't it?
I think
that you can have the on-screen buttons.
From what I understand, MoneyPenny is basically a Lumia 520 with on-screen buttons and some updated like internal hardware. But it's basically that kind of device, dual SIM option, you know, on some variants, and then on-screen keyboards. Goldfinger is a lot less. We don't know much about it. In fact, I heard that there's been a recent revamp of the hardware on that. There was rumors that it was going to be canceled, but now it's not. It's just changing and that they're possibly downplaying some features. I don't know exactly what that means, though, because specifics are kind of hard to come by. So
we're talking about Windows, Microsoft, and a lot of phone stuff, but that's because we've got Daniel Rubino here from Windows Phone Central, WPCentral.com. He's the editor-in-chief. Peter Bright, Dr. Pizza's here as well from Ars Technica. And, of course, Mary Jo Foley, Paul Thurrott has the week off. You're listening to Windows Weekly. We'll have more in just a bit, including Office on the iPad and a special deal for those of you using SkyDrive. But first, we're going to have a fight over who gets the offer code. But the free 500 megs. But first, ladies and gentlemen, a word from our good sponsors at IT Pro TV. They just celebrated 1,000 subscribers. This is so exciting. This is a group of guys who really are doing a great job, I think, of kind of recreating what we've done, but for people who want to get certs. So if you're in IT, and a lot of you are kind of by default in IT because, you know, you're the IT person for your business or your school or maybe even just your home, and you want to upgrade your skills, maybe even get those certifications to work in IT professionally, This is a great place to start. You could spend a lot of money on a school for this. You can even spend a lot of money just getting study materials. But here's a way to learn that's as easy and fun as watching TWiT and is really effective. Hundreds of hours of content, 20 hours added each week, live, so you can chat with the pros as they teach you. These guys are engaging. They're smart. They've been teaching certifications for a long time. But they decided they wanted to kind of do it in a more friendly fashion, which means you can watch this now not only on your tablet or your computer. You can watch it on your Roku, on your big screen TV in the living room. Do it with the IT Pro TV, what you do with Twitch. Just keep it running all the time. And you will learn while you're watching. It brings a lot of personality to it. They answer your questions live on the air during the live stream, which is fabulous. You can get all of the videos ever. In fact, if you go to the episode library, you'll see they have a lot of episodes in all the major certs. You've got your CompTIA, your CompTIA A+, NetPlus, SecurityPlus, and CASP. You've got the Microsoft certs as well, Cisco, and the ISC squared, SSCP and CISSP. There are hundreds and hundreds of hours of content. They add 20 new hours every week. They're working as hard as I am. Network security, laptop repair, VLANs, subnetting, and more. Let's just see. I'm curious. I'm going to log in and see if they're broadcasting live right now. Sometimes it's kind of fun to see what's going on. IT Pro TV. And I'm going to tell you, by the way, a special deal in just a second. But congratulations to the folks at IT Pro TV on their 1,000th subscriber. And you could be 1,001 right now. Let's see if they're live. Yeah, they've got chat room going. They are live, I think. This is so cool. I'll turn up the audio. You can hear a little bit of it. Oh.
Some of the vendors go even further.
That's
and
Tim.
Do some really cool stuff. And so if SolarWinds, for example, you can go into your config.
You're going to learn a lot here. And it's much more geeky than what we do. I mean, this is for people who want to get those IT certs. There's a free preview, of course. Subscriptions, $57 a month or $570 for an entire year. That's a lot less than going to one of these schools. But I got a special deal for you when you use our offer code WW50. You're going to get 50% off, and not just for the first month or the first year, but for the lifetime of your account. That brings the cost down to $28.50 a month, $285 a year. This is the way to learn. If you want to get the certs, you want to learn without even knowing IT, this is it. Visit itpro.tv/ww to find out more. itpro.tv/ww. You can test drive the content, see if it meets your needs. And then get that special deal. Don't, take advantage of the offer code WW50 for 50% off. itpro.tv/ww. And congratulations on their 1,000th subscriber. That's such good news. This has become a real success at itpro.tv. You're watching Windows Weekly. Mary Jo Foley is here. Paul has the week off. Peter Bright, Dr. Pizza with us from, I say that with verve. Maybe because we're approaching lunchtime. From Ars Technica, Dr. Pizza is here with all his phones. And also joining us, I think for the first time that I remember, Daniel Rubino, editor-in-chief of WPCentral.com. Great to have you, Daniel. Thank you for joining us this week. And you're in Long Island, huh?
Long Island, but not for long. I'm moving to Massachusetts. Me and Paul.
Oh, it's going to warm up. You're going to.
Yeah,
no
right.
Snow there, right? Yeah, you're moving up to the Sun Belt.
I'm an original New Englander, though, so I'm not a big fan of New York. So I'm happy to.
Yeah, I'm a New Englander too. Yeah. And WP Central, I imagine, like most sites, most tech news sites, is distributed all over, probably. Yeah.
Oh yeah. We got UK writers. Yeah. We have people all over Texas, California. Yeah. So
awesome. I am curious. Mary Jo Foley knows. Windows, Microsoft Office on the iPad coming soon to an iPad near me?
Maybe sooner than we thought originally.
It's alive, she says.
Yeah, this was funny. Last week after we taped Windows Weekly, Tammy Reller, who's the head of marketing at Microsoft, did a presentation at a tech conference. And she was asked, of course, about Office for the iPad, like everybody at Microsoft gets asked all the time. And she gave kind of a wishy-washy answer, but she just said, yeah, we're being thoughtful about it and blah, blah, blah. So suddenly everybody, like all the semi-professional Microsoft watchers, I should say, not the real ones, jumped on this and made it immediately into, oh, Microsoft's not going to do Office for the iPad. Listen to what she said. She was like very hesitant and blah, blah, blah. Well, no. I checked in with my sources and said, okay, are they still doing it? And it came back, yes, they're still doing it. And not only are they doing it, but they're going to do it quicker than the original timeline had them scheduled to do it. So originally, they were supposed to do Office for the iPad and come out with it around this fall sometime, October 2014-ish. But supposedly, here's what my sources said. They said late last year, the office management went to Steve Ballmer and they said, you know what, we could actually deliver Office for the iPad before Office, the touch version of Office for Windows, if you guys want to. And they said, okay.
Wow.
Which is showing you how different Microsoft is. The Microsoft of today is.
Satya Nadella Microsoft has begun.
This actually happened with Ballmer, which is kind of crazy, right? So they went to Steve B and said, hey, can we do this? And we can if you guys want to. And they supposedly said yes. Wow, so awesome.
She was like, whatever, I'm on the way out.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm like,
knock yourself out. Yeah. So supposedly in the first half of this year, so by the end of June, Office for iPad will be out.
What do we know? What do we think? Is it a subscription model? Is it free? Do you have an Office 365 subscription? What is it going to be?
So we don't know for sure, obviously, but the rumor is Office 365 subscription required, just like Office Mobile for the iPhone and for Android phones. Some people say that makes it less attractive, but you got to think from Microsoft's perspective, how do you kind of put a little bit of a premium on what you get for Windows versus what you're going to get for your iPad, right? And one way you could do that is to tie the iPad one to a subscription. That's the rumor. I don't know. I don't really know what this means. So many people are saying, oh, is it them giving up on Surface? No, it doesn't mean because they're going to come out with this for the iPad first. That they're giving up on the Surface. But it's, again, just like the case we were talking about with Android and phones, it's going to be some tricky positioning if you're Microsoft, right? Like, how do you tell your customers who are waiting for the Gemini Office Touch First release that, hey, you guys are going to come after the iPad? They're going to have to tell them.
It's going to be the same applications, though. I mean,
it's going to be Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote only, supposedly.
Will Office for iPad and will Touch Office for Windows?
Oh, be the same. Are you asking that?
Well, you get Windows one.
Yeah, I don't know if it will be the same. Supposedly, both of them are optimized for Touch. But we don't know for sure if that means it's the exact same set of features and the same kind of controls, you know, the way you might have a radial dial on those kind of apps to select things. I don't know how that's going to look, right? If it will be
the same. I'm real curious to see about this, how they're going to take, because Office can be pretty complicated, obviously, and how do you make it touch? Because obviously they can't put all the features in there, but they have to put the main one. So I'm really curious because, I mean, I think that is still the complaint with the Surface. Yeah, right, exactly. How do you determine that?
Yeah. Right, because supposedly the touch-first versions of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote that are going to be the Metro-style apps that are coming, the thing that's codenamed Gemini, those are not supposedly as fully featured as the desktop Office, right? So
That's inevitable, I think.
Right. Yeah. Me too.
Because you don't want to be like writing macros and things.
Right. So I think you'll see something similar, right, for the iPad. It won't be every possible feature that's in PowerPoint or Excel that's taken to the iPad. It'll be a subset, I would think.
Microsoft still has the ability, though, at least on the Surface, to sort of integrate the Office system deeper into the operating system, you know, so that things can talk to each other. You know, I'm be interesting to see how it goes on the iPad, if it'll be more siloed or how much it'll hook into, you know, other cloud services.
Right. And you know, everybody was asking last, I should just throw in, because people are asking me about what about the next Office for Mac, right? Because, we're talking about, right? It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Office 2011 for Mac was the last one. And I keep hearing it's in development, but maybe not till this fall or sometime around then.
All right. So they are still working on it.
They are.
And will it count? Will the Office for the iPad count against my installs? Probably not, right?
I would think
I don't know. Yeah.
Might.
You could.
Yeah, I know. Or they add something in like they did with the phones where you have something in your Office 365 subscription.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Going to be interesting.
I like Office 365. Big fan of it.
Yeah. Everybody is. And, you know, you can use it in a limited form on the Safari browser on the iPad. I mean, it's not like you don't have access to it, I think.
Yeah, you can use Office web apps, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean, the web version. Yeah.
I think it's quite clever the way they've tied it to Office 365 because it's like that way they can say, yeah, we've done Office on this thing. But all the haters, and there are many haters who say, oh, I don't want subscription software. I want to own my software.
But even Adobe is embracing that. I mean, a lot of companies are doing that now.
Yeah,
so.
look how people love the Creative Cloud. Oh, such great PR for Adobe. Ooh.
Right. I mean, for me, at least, you know, buying Office was always a weird thing. It was like $250. I forgot what the price point was. It was really crazy. You get the student discounts and stuff, but the idea of buying, like, say, a Windows tablet and it just comes on there for free is already pretty a good deal.
Yeah, very compelling. Yeah. And somebody in our chat room has pointed out, R. Woods points out that Outlook, OneNote, Link, and SharePoint are already on iOS. So we're just talking about...
Outlook.com is...
Outlook.com, right.
Right, not Outlook.
Oh, that's app. That's actually a very big difference, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I blame Microsoft for that confusion.
Yeah. Yep. Maybe they could call it, rename it, maybe like...
Mobile mail.
One email. We need one email.
One email.
One mail. There we go. See, we just did it.
One male, two females. That's what we got right now. No, that's the other way around. We got three male, one female. How about Link, an Android version of Link? That would be good news for us. You know, we've been looking playing with Link as an alternative to Skype, although Skype works with the Link server, of course, for everybody, especially Paul and Mary Jo. Having it on Android would be a nice additional feature.
Mm-hmm. It's coming.
It's already on Android phones.
Right.
Oh.
It's only a tablet.
It's on the phone, but not the tablet right now.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Federation of Skype and Link is coming along too, right?
I know. We should get Dr. Pizza on that because he wrote quite a bit on that.
I still don't get why they have these two things and they're separate. They're slowly coming together. So last year they had Link Federation with Skype for voice chat. This year, they demonstrated it. Was it yesterday? The day is all merged into.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday they demonstrated Link sort of federated with Skype video chat, and they said that will be released sometime in the second half of this year. I don't think they said second half, but I think it will be released sometime in the second half of this year. Yeah. So they will still be separate, but. If your administrator wants to enable sort of cross communication between Link and Skype, that will become an option, and then you'll get. I think that fills out the remaining gaps. So you'll have voice, video, presence, and I presume text messaging. I presume text messaging is there already. Because it would be crazy if it wasn't. And they'll be able to interrupt quite nicely. The thing that was more exciting to me. Was that they're going to have finally some PSTN options for Office 365 and Link Online. So if you have Link in your server room, you can connect it to your like SIP gateway and make voice calls to phone numbers and all that kind of thing. But if you have it in the cloud with Office 365, you can't do that. And when they bought Skype, it seemed like the most obvious thing because Skype is huge for calling to actual phone numbers. It's got a huge proportion of, I think it's got like 30-40% of international call minutes globally, which is pretty significant. And
I had no idea. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
It is a huge thing. And, you know, they've got points of presence all around the world, so you can get a phone number in, you know, many, many different countries, you know, so you can have a local number abroad.
Somebody should buy Skype. That's good.
Yeah. And to me, that seemed like a really nice thing to integrate with Office 365 because then Office 365 could become, it's almost like your whole office in a box. So it'll give you the productivity software. It'll give you like the user management and that kind of thing. And it'll give you your phones, which is actually still quite an important thing for a lot of businesses. And it looks like they're finally going to start doing that, I think, sometime this year. I don't think they've been very specific, but they said it's going to be an option to have PSTN calling.
That makes sense. I think a lot of people sit in front of Outlook while they're on conference calls. They have, you know, I mean, this is how you use it a lot, right?
Right. So you know, you'll be able to sign into a machine with your Office 365 credentials. You get access to all your work, access to all your email. Your phone calls will get routed to you. You can make calls to people, and it's
truly a mobile office. It's everywhere,
right? This seemed to me like the first thing that should be done after they bought Skype. It was the one real nice sort of synergy they have that Skype had this. It looks like they're finally going to. I mean, they're not saying that it will be using Skype, but I can only imagine that it's using the same kind of. Because Skype, you know, Skype has to negotiate with like phone companies around the world to get this, and they've had disputes about it in the past where like contracts have ended, and people's phone lines have gone away. You know, so I assume there's going to be some leverage of Skype.
Does GroupMe work its way into this conversation at some point? Because I'm curious with like, you know, Link, Skype, GroupMe, they're all owned by Microsoft. They all overlap, but are. Some they you know do different things too and have their own roles, but are they all going to fall together long term?
Skype and Link are not. They're going to stay two separate products. And the way Microsoft differentiates those two is they say Skype is what you use outside the firewall, and Link is what you use inside the firewall.
Gotcha.
I don't know how GroupMe fits into that discussion. If that goes away over time, if that gets integrated into something else, or if they keep that as a separate app and service.
Right.
But see, even that makes no sense. As the Skype people know well enough, lots of businesses use Skype.
Like,
we're using Skype right now.
I'm inside the firewall, and I'm using it.
This whole dichotomy between inside and outside the firewall just
it's meaningless.
Doesn't make sense.
It's meaningless.
It's not consistent with how people actually use the software. Which is why the whole continued Skype-Link duality just doesn't make sense.
Microsoft bought Yammer, too, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So not just GroupMe, it's Yammer.
Yep. Right.
They got way too much stuff. They need to clean out the attic.
They overlap a bit. Maybe not 100%, but they all overlap a bit. And it's just...
Yeah.
What are they going to do with
Somebody's
it?
Somebody's got to be working on a unified product.
Yeah, I mean, the Federation is kind Skype of it, what that is.
Yeah. And I think they want Skype to be way more than it is, but Skype was built to be VoIP on computers, and it's the world changed to mobile. And so they bought it, and they got to change the whole back end to match that new world. And I don't think people necessarily understand the complexity involved there, but it's, you know, and I heard all the product lines, iOS, Android, everything was written completely different on each platform. So they have to sort of realign all those too.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So it looks like they have a lot of work to do. But, I mean, obviously people want Skype to be sort of a WhatsApp with the ability to make phone calls. And I think, you know, that's the challenge that they have before them.
We got to wrap things up. But before we do, remember that BSkyB, Rupert Murdoch's Sky Network, sued Microsoft over SkyDrive. And Microsoft just fell over in a dead faint. And said, oh, I'm so sorry. We had no idea you existed. And said, all right, we'll rebrand SkyDrive. The rebranding began today. I got new OneDrive apps on Android and iOS. And when I went to SkyDrive, I got OneDrive. So this is it. It's happening.
Yep. And the new features came, too.
Oh, what are the new features?
Android, I think, got automatic backup of their cameras.
Yes.
Which is pretty nice. The Windows Phone app has a few new features. You can pin individual folders to your start screen, which is actually really useful. You can also share multiple items at once, which is also really useful. So, yeah, it's not just a renaming, but they're rolling out new features with it as well. So pretty good stuff.
And if you go to your SkyDrive account right now, how long is that going to go on?
No, it's finished.
It's over?
So yeah.
It was only the first 100,000 users.
Yeah, it's finished.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned it at the beginning of the show, Peter, and I'm sorry
for at the beginning
else.
Of the show, it was live, and now it's dead.
So we shouldn't mention that it was 100 gigabytes of storage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Free, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's gone now.
I'm thrilled to know that for some reason SkyDrive thinks my name is Paul. Welcome back, Paul. Someone has accepted your invitation to join OneDrive, and you've received free storage.
You probably somehow invited people to increase Paul Theroux's.
Oh, I hope that's not. How could I have done that?
I don't know, but you probably found some bug in the system.
I think so.
And Paul is getting hundreds of extra gigs, and you're getting nothing.
Oh,
man.
Oh, I am. I'm in Paul Theroux's files.
Oh,
how'd that happen?
Because of the shared OneNote.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
This seems to me a bug.
I think you found a bug.
Should I go through his files? And there's the book. And
see what you can delete.
No, all this stuff's public, fortunately. But look at this. I'm in Paul's stuff.
Uh-oh.
Hello,
I hope
Paul.
He's not watching.
Go
hope
skiing.
He's not watching right now.
No, it's all public. It's all public, so I'm not going to worry about it. But I better get out of his OneDrive. I actually like the name OneDrive. I think it's a good name.
I think it's a much better name.
Unfortunately, there is a cloud storage solution named OneDrive, so get ready for the lawsuit.
Yeah. They told me they've done their due diligence, and they don't believe they're going to have a legal issue.
Really?
That's what they told me.
So in other words, this other company is small enough that they can buy them if they have to.
I guess right. It is a small. I think it's a very small company. So.
Yeah, rare it is. Yeah.
I'm mad because Paul got all my
your free stuff, all your free gigs of storage.
Wow.
Apparently, the link that I shared on Twitter benefits Paul Theroux and not me. He's going to be very surprised when he gets off the slopes today.
Aren't you glad now that I didn't retweet it?
Yep.
Yeah. Because I got nothing. I'm in my OneDrive. I got nothing.
Aw.
Yeah, I tweeted. I didn't get anything. But I think everybody that follows me already has.
They already know about it,
You got to find people who don't have any OneDrive at all.
So now, anyway, for those of you who missed this, they were offering 100 gigabytes for the first 100,000 people who logged into their OneDrive, which was nice. So I have 129 gigs now.
Actually, the feature that I'm most intrigued by, one of the other new features, is apparently now if you upload a video to SkyDrive, like from your phone, and share it out, you know, like email a link of here's my cat, baby, or whatever.
Yeah.
It will do some like on-the-fly transcoding so that people can stream that video, even if they're like on a mobile device with not much bandwidth, or at home with a nice 1080p screen, and it will transcode it magically, just automatically, on demand, which this sounds pretty cool.
We are in an arms race now, because of course Google does a lot of auto awesome stuff on Google+. This is going to become an arms race, and we will benefit.
Yeah. And so I guess if people upload their snippets of X-Bone gameplay,
I'm doing it right now.
It'll be all transcoded.
Awesome. Cool. Awesome. That is a nice feature.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we have a tip of the week. I can't believe I gave Paul my... I don't understand. That seems like, I shouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, that does,
I know. That was weird.
That does not seem legit.
Hello, Paul! All right, well, he owes me a beer or something. That's so weird. Our show today, wow. Software pick of the week, tip of the week, enterprise, code name, and beer all coming up. Our show today brought to you by our friends at Personal Capital. And I say that because I interviewed the CEO of Personal Capital when he was just starting the company. And now, Bill Harris, and now, more than a year later, it is just going great guns. And I signed up, of course, then, because he told me about it. He's the former CEO of Intuit and PayPal. So he knows a little bit about money and managing money online. Personal Capital is designed to take all of your accounts and manage them in a single place. Well, give you kind of, even more than manage, give you a map, a roadmap, a GPS of where you stand. It's free. It's secure. You can absolutely trust it. And they've solved two barriers that I think are really significant to you know, growing your wealth, growing your retirement fund, getting, you know, making your investments pay. The first barrier, of course, is it's just hard to keep track of everything, not just your mortgage and your credit cards and your loans, but your stocks, your 401k. I hope you have a 401k, your bank accounts, each of them on a different site, different usernames and passwords. You can never really see them all at once. The second is, if you're paying somebody to manage it, you're probably paying too much. You could do it yourself with Personal Capital. It's your next generation, your 21st century financial advisor. It brings all your accounts and assets to a single screen on your computer, your phone, your tablet. Beautiful real-time graphs, completely intuitive, easy to understand. Shows how much you're paying in fees, whether you're overpaying, how you can reduce those fees. That's a big deal. You also get tailored advice on optimizing your investments. So why wait? It's free. Sign up just takes a minute, and it will, I promise, pay big dividends. I've been very happy. There's Bill. I've been very happy with my personal capital account. Total clarity and transparency so you can make better decisions right away. Sign up for your free account, personalcapital.com/windows. It's free and the smart way to grow your money. personalcapital.com/windows. Sign up today. You will not regret it. I promise you. You can thank me later. Windows Weekly on the air. Paul Theroux has the week off. He's going to be very happy when he gets off the slopes and discovers hundreds of megabytes of free storage on his OneDrive account. Mary Jo Foley is here, of course, from allaboutmicrosoft.com. Peter Bright from Ars Technica. And Daniel Rubino, editor-in-chief of WPCentral.com. Let us start off. I guess, Daniel, you're going to take the Paul Theroux role. The young, good-looking Paul Theroux role.
Hello, Leo. Can I do that?
Hello, Paul. Nice. Very nice. And your software pick of the week?
I would say Bing apps. So Microsoft has been doing a lot of Bing stuff lately, really rolling out from Bing News and Weather from the basics to their health and fitness and food and drink apps. These are both available on Windows 8.1 and now Windows Phone. And this week, we actually saw the rollout of a new update on Windows Phone, which allowed syncing across your those apps to different devices. So if you log into your Weather with your Microsoft account, it'll show up on your Windows 8 device and your Windows Phone and whatever other service you're using, which is pretty interesting. It's sort of the future of the single sign-on that actually Google users should be very familiar with that's coming to Microsoft and across their products. And the Bing apps have gotten some amazingly high reviews, and you got to give, I think, a little bit of credit to the Bing team for design, that they know what they're doing.
Yeah, we're in agreement. We love those Bing apps. I think they're just and they get better, and there's more all the time. Dr. Yep. Pizza, you want to pick something? We'll let you have some pick of some kind. You don't have to. He doesn't have to. What's your favorite pizza flavor?
Pepperoni.
Okay. Of course. The sensible choice.
What about sausage?
No. Pepperoni is a choice of pizza lovers everywhere.
Sausages. I do love sausages, but I like English sausages, not like
ooh,
this stuff.
Get in bangers. Ooh.
Bangers.
Ooh. That's bangers. Not sausage.
Leo, you better watch it. Otherwise,
that's bangers are there. To sausages, filet mignon is to steak. It's just soft meat, Peter.
You've clearly never had a good sausage, Leo.
I've had bangers. No. All right. We'll grant you that, but you really wouldn't want a banger pizza.
I would have named like the Titanfall beta, but that's closed now. So
I am loving it. Okay. So you're playing it. Okay. You guys can go away.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We'll
let's talk.
I played it on the PC where it deserves to be played.
Oh, I've been playing it on the Xbox One.
Yeah.
I'm playing on the one too.
It's 720p. So, but you know what? It's very snappy, and given all the stuff that's going on, everybody seems to really like it. You guys agree? Mary Jo, you can ignore
it's good.
This.
I really like the parkour bits. The running
around.
Yeah,
the wall running.
Things,
yeah, yeah.
Running up the wall like jumping onto things and pulling yourself onto the rooftops.
Yeah.
All that kind of thing. I don't like being in the Titan. I feel when I'm in the Titan, I'm like big and slow and lumbering. And I
but
just
you
like
can
running
kill
around.
Stuff.
Oh yeah, but it's the running around bit that I'm really enjoying.
I like that auto aim gun that gets like three people at once.
That's pretty cool as well. That is a good fun gun. It's like, you know, you come across these little grunts and bing bing bing.
They're all gone.
They light up, boom.
Boom. It doesn't work with a Titan, but that's, you know.
No, sadly not.
Do not piss off the Titans.
You know, this whole game for me is running around and shooting.
But then that's just Call of Duty.
Yeah. Call of Duty, you can't
in a way,
run
it feels just like it feels like a first-person shooter to me.
It is. It's first-person shooter with mechs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's good though. I think the feedback has been huge. I think the press is going to be pretty massive, and I can already tell you there will be a console for it, custom console. Yeah. That'll be announced real soon. So,
what's that mean? You're a custom really console? I don't understand.
Custom page.
So they're going to release an Xbox One.
A Titanfall Xbox One.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So I think the real interest, the reason that people are interested in this is because the launch titles were so anemic for the Xbox One. And so
that they should give it a shot in the arm.
There's nothing unique. And so this is the first title now that's unique to the Xbox One. And, you know, it's fun to play. It's a good title. I'll be playing this for a while, I think.
Yeah.
I kind of liked Rise, Son of Rome. I played that for a while, even though it's not a hard game. I'm not a...
People slated that. I haven't played it, but it got...
I know, they hated it.
Threads.
Yeah, they got really bad reviews. Yeah.
And I'm surprised. It was kind of fun. The graphics were gorgeous. You felt like you were in Rome. The Emperor was a weasel. What more could you
guys are selling me on Xbox right now. I'm like,
the funny thing, I use my Xbox One. I'm that new generation. I use it mostly for media. TV, Netflix, yep. Amazon yeah. Media. Yep. I can play games on it. That's how I do it.
It's in my den with the OLED TV. That's the good setup, and that's what I watch Netflix on. I watch regular cable on it, and because it's passed through. NFL on it is great. I've been actually very happy with it as a media player. The update didn't seem to change much, but I'm really hoping for more voice commands. I have to say, though, when you're watching a movie and you say Xbox, pause, and it stops.
That's so useful.
And you go pee, and then you come back, and you say Xbox, play. That is awesome.
It's great when you have pizza in your hand. Speaking of pizza. you're like, I can't grab a remote.
Xbox, pause.
Oh, man, I get into big shouting matches with it, though.
You know, mine is sitting on the speaker, on the center channel speaker. I don't know.
Fine.
It works. I don't understand how that works.
So I have this thing. So if you're watching a series on Netflix, you know, it does that thing where when it's playing the end credits of the old episode, it sort of shrinks it down, and you see the next one.
Yeah.
And I say Xbox Play, and then it pops up a message saying, I can't play here. And then it lists the command at the bottom, things you can say, play. And every time it trolls me.
I blame Netflix. I blame Netflix.
And it's just, it's like,
Xbox. It's your accent.
No. It recognized that I said play. No, it said play isn't allowed.
It's the Netflix.
Then it lists play as one of the verbs.
I think
it trolls me. The damn thing is just mocking me.
I have a theory that it's because there is an agreement that you can't interrupt the credits. They do the same thing on television, right? They squeeze the credits down and they say coming up, but they can't interrupt. The credits are, you know, an obligation.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just designed to make me annoyed.
somebody in the chat room says skip.
I'll try that.
Or next.
I'll try.
It's the same thing on the Roku, apparently. I didn't know that. But, you know, I have to say, I'm bullish on the Xbox One. And I'm glad to see finally a launch title 4 months later that's worth playing. It's good.
Yeah. Well, I think that's just, you know, Microsoft and Sony both did not want to release these consoles now. They both did because it was an arms race.
But I
guarantee you both teams were been like, give us another year. We'll round it out even better. But they didn't have a choice.
There's no compelling reason to buy these because you can't play your old games on it. So
it's like if you look at like the media capabilities of both of them, They're both really primitive compared to the 360 and the PS3.
Right.
They've been rushed, and it really shows that the software isn't baked.
Well, I think Titanfall was a good software pick of the week. Thank you, Dr. Pizza. And now Mary Jo gets the floor back with our enterprise
it's
pick
tough
of the
to
week.
To follow Titanfall.
I know.
The enterprise pick of the week.
Sorry.
But I want to give a good one.
All right.
So this week's pick is the fact that Microsoft finally has gone public with the end of preload dates for Windows 7, at least partially gone public with this. So what they announced late last week was that the consumer versions of Windows 7 are no longer going to be able to be preloaded by PC makers on new machines after this October 31st. So that means... If you're in the market for a consumer PC with Windows 7 on it, unless you go through the whole downgrade rights stuff, you're going to have to get this by October 31st. The exception is Windows 7 Professional. So OEMs are going to have longer to be able to preload Windows 7 Professional, so the business version, on PCs and continue to build and sell those into the market. And that's the date we don't know. They haven't given us the drop dead date for that. But they said they will give everyone a year's heads up. So we know it's at least February 2015, right? Because that's a year from now. But it's probably going to be much longer than that, I would think. And they say this is not because Windows 8 is not catching on with businesses and not because of the end of life of XP fast approaching. But they just said, you know, where the reality is businesses are in the midst of their Windows 7 deployments. So a lot of businesses want Windows 7 PCs with Windows 7 Professional preloaded, and we want to be there for them. Whether you believe that or not, that's your business, but that's what they're saying is the reason that they did this. So there you have it. You can, if you're in the market for a Windows 7 PC, a business customer who's in the market, you have longer to still go out and buy one, at least past this fall, which is when the consumer version preloads end.
All right.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Yeah. And not surprising. It seems like a sensible way to do it because it's business.
Agree.
Yeah. It's business after all that's most
very
unhappy
sensible.
About it.
Yep. Yeah.
And your codename pick of the week?
Codename pick of the week is Miramar. And that is the code name for Office on iPad. I was looking up, what is Miramar? And there are two different geographic locations that it seems that it may be referring to because, you know, Microsoft likes to use geographic locations as code names. One of them is in Florida. There's a Miramar Beach and it there's, I guess it's a whole town, Miramar.
Yeah. Naval Air Station or something.
It's, yeah, it's where Top Gun.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Oh.
Oh, maybe that's why.
Okay. Tom Cruise reference. Mm-hmm. All right.
Or it could be there's a neighborhood in San Diego called Miramar also. But yeah, so if you hear anybody talking about Miramar, it's Office for the iPad.
There you go. Office for the iPad is Miramar. I feel the need for Office for the iPad.
Yes.
And finally, the moment you've all been waiting for. I think there are people, in fact, who tune in just for this.
I know. I've heard from them.
They want to know, by the way, what your handle is on Beer Advocate.
Yep. So I'll tell people again, since I love getting more followers there. Yes. MJ Foley is me on Untappd.
Would never have guessed that. Oh, I mean Untappd, not Beer Advocate. Untappd.
Yep. Yeah. And, yep, so anybody can add me there. And I do a lot of my beer picks of the week based on things I've been drinking during the week.
Oh,
and
good.
This is one of those.
Good.
So if you like rye bread, and who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
I bet Dr. Pizza does.
How about rye bread pizza?
I know.
Now we're cooking with
gas. How about that?
Yeah.
Great. Well, there are a lot of rye beers, but there's one from a brewery in California called The Brewery, B-R-U-E-R-Y, that is an excellent rye. It's called Rug Broad.
Rug Broad. I want some Rug Broad.
It's really good. A friend of mine who had it with me said it's like drinking a loaf of rye bread, pretty much.
Of course it is.
It is.
I might
and
like
it
that.
Has all, oh, it's delicious. It tastes exactly like rye. It has a little fruitiness to it, a little spice, and it's a really excellent example of the style. This is my recommendation.
Rug Brod.
Is that how you say it? Rug Brod.
I don't know. I'm making it up.
Okay.
As I speak, Rug bread. Broad is bread, I'm sure. Rug, I don't know. It might be rug. It might be rye. We don't know.
I have somebody else saying Top Gun is in San Diego. Back to the code name.
Miramar is in San Diego. Miramar Naval Air Station is in San Diego. Miramar is in Florida.
Right.
So there's the two possibilities.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's it. What a great show.
I know. Thanks, you guys, for being on.
I give Paul his OneDrive gigabytes, and we'll just see you later, Paul. Filling in for Paul throughout this week, the great Peter Bright from Ars Technica, arstechnica.com. Anything you want to plug, Peter, besides your great comment, a column there? He's a wonderful writer. And a fine glass of Coca-Cola.
Vanilla Coke Zero.
Oh, God.
It's delicious.
Vanilla Coke Zero?
Now I understand why he likes bangers, ladies and gentlemen.
That is my beer of the week.
Yeah. I bet you like custard as well in a can.
I have been known to, yeah, to eat custard from the can.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, it's great to have you, Peter, at Dr. Pizza on Twitter. Great also to welcome for the first time to our show, Daniel Rubino, who's editor-in-chief of Windows Phone Central. I mean, it's WPCentral.com, but that stands for Windows Phone Central, right?
Right, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Part of the Mobile Nations.
Yeah, it's okay to say that.
Oh, yeah. It's a weird branding thing. Yeah, we try to, WP Central's the address, but yeah, we call ourselves Windows Phone Central so people don't misunderstand.
Of Mobile Nations fame, number one for all things mobile. That's Renee Ritchie's part of your crew there,
too. Yep. Yeah, I'm more. Yep.
Yeah, we love Renee. And we love.
Good Canadian.
Yeah, it's good to have you, Daniel. Really come back soon. It was a lot of fun.
Definitely. Yeah. We'd love to.
And thank you, Mary Jo Foley. AllAboutMicrosoft.com is where you'll find Mary Jo. And, of course, she'll find her here each and every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC, on twit.tv. You can get audio and video after the fact. We make it available on demand at twit.tv/WW for Windows Weekly. So come here live if you can, but otherwise download it. You can also subscribe. In fact, I can't wait till Windows Phone 8.1 has that new podcast app, and you'll be able to subscribe in that. That'll be awesome. Meanwhile, use the Xbox music store, whatever they call it these days. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly.